But today, we got Jonah where he was in the fish, and I just want to recap it real quick. Remember, the Ninevites were an extremely cruel nation. Nobody liked them. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and what did he do? He went the other way. Who remembers the name of the city that he was going to? Tarshish, right? I heard several of you say it. But fortunately, God didn't give up on Jonah, did he? He was still after him. And we see this story, and we always think about the big fish, or if you always heard it, the whale, right? It wasn't a whale, but the fish really isn't the story. But I don't know, can you imagine? I mean, just imagine, what is that going to be like to be in the belly of a fish for 3 days? That had to stink. I mean, you can't see anything. Who knows what the feels are, right? I mean, that's just gross. I don't even like sushi, right? So I know some of you guys like that, but no, I'm sorry. My fish has to be cooked. That's just how I roll. But I'm just trying to imagine. Jonah is in there for 3 days. He had a lot of time to think about his decision about running from God. Like, what got me in this predicament? And I believe, like all people that run from God, we get faced with a decision. Number one, we can get bitter and angry and curse God. How many of you know people do that? Like they're running from God, and then they get mad at God because things aren't working out the way it should. Does that make any sense? So you got a decision. The other decision, would I be remorseful and repent? So Jonah was faced with that, and we notice, we're going to pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And I love, you know, I love through the week when there's nobody in here, coming in here, have some music on, and just spend some time prayer. Our Thursday night prayer is just a great environment, isn't it? Those of you guys that have come, how many of you have a place at your home or maybe in the woods that you walk and you just have a time where you spend time with God? It's like, great. Does anybody have a place like Jonah had? Inside the fish. I mean, that is a place to pray, inside a smelly, dark fish. But we know that Jonah was completely out of options. At that point, he finally prayed to God. Now, here's the point. If you remember in chapter 1, the captain came and woke him up and said, pray to your God. We don't read anywhere in chapter 1 where Jonah prayed. If he would have prayed on the boat instead of in the inside the fish, I wonder if this story would have turned out different. If he would have prayed on the boat, everything could have been a whole lot different, but he prayed inside the fish at what looked like really the end of his life. Like if you're in a fish, how many of you know you're thinking the end is near? This is it. But he turned to God. There were really no other options. And I think for sometimes us as human beings, we have to hit bottom before we're willing to listen and obey. Amen. When life storms bring you to that moment when you have nowhere else to go but God, for some of us, the belly of the fish might have been a hospital room. Yeah. It might have been there. And for some people, it might have been in jail. Yep. Right? Oh, jailhouse salvation. How many of you know that's a real deal, right? Failed marriage, that might bring you to your knees to God, right? A business disaster that blew up. Maybe something very public failure that happened. Maybe the belly of the fish was the bottom of a bottle. Regardless, we find ourselves in these places where we desperately need God. Rock bottom, sitting in the bottom of your pit. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here today, maybe we got people watching online. If you're at rock bottom or close to it, I want to encourage you to listen because there's some things that we can learn from Jonah's prayer. Amen? How many of you know the prayers are not in there just so we can like, oh, Jonah prayed. What he prayed is very important. So many of you may feel I'm at the end of my rope. I can't pray right now. The situation that I'm in. And let's be honest. Sometimes we get in a situation and we know we got ourselves in that situation. And we know that we got there because we were disobeying God. And we're like, I can't pray to God. He won't accept my prayer. He's not going to listen to me now. I did this. I got myself into the mess, and I'm going to have to get myself out, right? That's kind of an attitude, but I want to tell you, friends, that's not true. That's not true. Look at verse 2. It says that he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my prayer. I'm so glad that God didn't ignore Jonah. Sometimes people kind of burn their bridges with us, right? Anybody have someone burn bridges with you? Like, I'm done with you. I'm not talking to you anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to the extreme and defriend you on Facebook. right? Oh no, I've been defriended, right? But the reality is our patience run out a whole lot quicker than God. Amen. God is not there. God didn't say, sorry, buddy, you made your bed, now you got to lie in it. Amen. And let me just say this. If the only reason you ask God for help is because you have nowhere else to turn, God still listens to your prayers. Amen. And this is a fill-in in your notes. God hears desperate prayers. Amen. Like, he hears you in your pain. He hears you in your prison cells. He hears the homeless that are on the street. Amen. He hears those people that are strung out on drugs, people that are in the midst of a broken relationship. If you're on the verge of bankruptcy, broken, whatever, maybe the middle of a relapse, can I tell you, friends, God hears you. He hears desperate prayers. He doesn't turn a deaf ear away. I love what King David wrote in Psalms 51. He says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. Notice those two go together. You can be broken, but if you're not repentant, you're not getting in, right? There's that combination that is there. Here's the question. Why does God listen to us in those times? After we've rejected him, after we've gone our own way? Because the reality is God's priority is not to pay you back, but to get you back. Amen? See, we want to punish people when they do wrong to us. God is not into punishing. He's not into, rake them over the coals or anything like that. God's desire is always to get us back. Even when we take a tiny step forward, I mean, it may be the tiniest step. How many of you know God responds to that? Yeah. Doesn't it say in the book of James that if we will draw near to him, then he will do what? He'll draw near to us. Kind of like the prodigal son. Whenever he was coming back, the father was already there waiting. And the moment he saw the son, what did the scripture say that he did what? He ran to him. Let me tell you, that's the kind of God we serve. Don't ever let the enemy try to tell you that, oh, God's not going to listen to you. You've blown it too many times. You've messed up too many times. That's an absolute lie. God is waiting for us. God is desiring us to make those steps back. Amen? Amen. And if you think about it, Jonah, at this point, what did he have to offer God? I mean, he's stuck in a fish, dirty, smelly. He was disobedient. And I'm sure he had to think that, you know what, when these sailors get back to port, they're going to tell everybody about my story. Right, they're going to say, oh yeah, there was this disobedient prophet that got on board. We ended up having to throw him in the ocean and this big fish came and ate him. Right, so he's at this point where it seemed like his life, his ministry, really his future was over. This is it, I'm done. And I believe that so many people have hit rock bottom. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. You know what, I want to get back into church, but let me just get things worked out first. Right. Let me get my life back in order first. Let me get all my ducks in a row first, and then I'm going to come back as soon as I get it all worked out. How many of you may have heard this before? That's like getting clean before you take a bath. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But that's kind of the mentality that we face. You don't have to wait. God doesn't expect you to get cleaned up before you come to him. Amen. We don't expect it either. As the church, it's not an expectation. Here's a big news flash for you. How many of you realize there are no perfect people in church? None of us, thank God. So I want to give you a little theology here that maybe you've heard before, maybe you haven't, maybe you've heard this word, but it's the word sanctification. And it's an action of making or declaring something holy. So when we come to God and accept him, then we experience this thing called instant sanctification. And it's the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, you are automatically declared holy. When God looks at you, he says, you're holy, you're pure, you're just as though you have never sinned. That's a wonderful thing, right? But notice what the definition, there is an action that has to make that happen. And actually, there's two actions. The first action is what Jesus did on the cross. And I know that's a gory picture there, but I think sometimes we need to take that in, right? That Jesus paying the price on the cross, he paid my penalty for my sin. I needed that. I couldn't pay it. I couldn't pay my own penalty. Anybody here? No, there's no way. I can't do enough good things. There's no way. So that action happened, but it has to be followed. If we're going to be sanctified, it has to be followed by the second action, and that is our surrendering to Jesus. He paid the price. You see, there's a doctrine out there that some churches have embraced called universalism, and they say, oh, everybody, because Jesus went to the cross, everybody's going to be saved and everybody's going to heaven. Right? I mean, that's out there. You have to know that you're going to face that, but the reality is that we've got to respond. Right? If we don't respond, it's not enough to say, oh, well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. How many of you know a lot of people think, I believe that. I acknowledge that. I believe he's the Son of God. But until this, and I love the name of this painting is called Forgiven. And I love it. He's actually holding the hammer and the nail. It was our sin that put him there. And that's how good God is. The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 1:20. And man, I could preach a sermon on this, but it's deep. God, talking about God the Father here, has united you with Christ Jesus. So we get this special bond with Jesus where he takes our sin, and guess what? We take his righteousness. We become what the scripture says, the righteousness of God. And it says, for our benefit, God made him to be wisdom. And then it says, Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and freed us from sin. Isn't that awesome? Listen, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you. This is a great day to do it. Amen. Not just believe that God died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross, but accept it into your heart. Amen? So now let me just say this. Does that mean that we never sin? If I'm pure and holy, anybody ever feel impure and unholy? Let's be honest here, right? Man, I'm a mess, right? Anybody here ever sin after you got saved? Wow, you bunch of sinners. No, just kidding. So here's another aspect of sanctification that we don't always grasp. Maybe you've never heard it before, but it's called progressive sanctification. And it's the work of sanctification of a believer through grace, and there are decisions. Everybody say decisions. Of the believer after new birth. After you give your life to Jesus, yes, we are holy and seen as God is holy, but yet we are still becoming holy at the same time. Does that make sense? It's like, man, I'm still a mess. How many of you know, you may be a mess, but you're a holy mess. Amen? And some of you guys are a holy hot mess. Am I right? I see some hands going up there. And that's okay, because your standing with Christ is secure. However, we should become more and more like him, right? Our anger should get under control a little bit, right? Our sinful whatever should begin to get... You should look more like Jesus today than the day you gave your life to Jesus. Amen? So that's progressive. And I wanted to put that out there because a lot of people are like, oh, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah. You're supposed to be... Well, I am a Christian. I am holy, but I'm just not there yet. I'm still at work. Tap your neighbor. I haven't done that in a while. And say, I'm still a work in progress.
Work in progress.
All of us, right? Now, here's the thing. God is looking to get back into relationship with you. And I love this in verse 3. He says, you hurled me into the deep. And so Jonah's praying to who?
God,
you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Now, notice this about Jonah. Who threw Jonah into the sea? Yeah, think about this. The sailors threw him into the sea, but instead of blaming the sailors, Jonah is saying, God, that was you. That was you. Even though they were physically responsible, he says, I recognize that you were behind that the whole time, God. You were there. It was all you're doing. When you finally turn your life over to Jesus, you'll be able to say the same thing. God, you allowed that circumstance in my life. You brought that about. You did that because you wanted me near you. Amen. And I believe that sometimes the people that we have problems with will see how God used them to draw us to him. Right? It gives us a right perspective. Maybe somebody confronted you and made you mad. Anybody ever have that happen? And you'll look back on it someday and say, okay, God, I see that was you. Right? Maybe you'll lose a job and or get angry at a pastor. I've never had that happen. He told me about my sin. And you'll back and say, okay, I see how that is. Or you get sick, business failure, whatever it is, we'll get to the point where we'll see the hand of God was dealing with me the whole time. God's been there and trying to get my attention. And the moment that I stopped trying to handle it myself and instead just cried out to Him in desperation, amen, the moment we surrender to God, the great thing is not only do we get our relationship with God straightened out, it begins to change how we see people in our past.
That's right.
Some of us have blamed people in our past for years. How many of you know we live in a blame generation these days? It was this person's fault, and it was that person's fault, and this, that, and the other thing. It's everybody's fault except for
mine.
Yeah, except for mine. And here, another fill-in in your notes. Blame is the number one enemy of spiritual growth. It really is. Blaming others, do you know what it does when we blame others is that we feed our own resentment, it causes more bitterness in our life, and it avoids any kind of responsibility. I'm not taking any, it's because I didn't get a cell phone when I was younger, you know? It's because, you know, who knows what the blame is, but we see that when God uses people to draw us back to Him, it doesn't mean that they're in right relationship, but God uses, how many of you know, God uses good, bad, and ugly to bring us back to Him. Amen? And I honestly believe that when you surrender to God, you begin to find it easier to forgive some of those people in your past. Whether it was a boss that treated you unfairly, whether your parents treated you unfairly, whether there were leaders, pastors, friends, a spouse or an ex-spouse. How many of you know those are some of the hardest ones? But when you realize what God is doing, it's like, okay, God, I can do this now. I see how You've allowed people and use them in my life to draw me closer to You. Does that make sense? So Jonah continued with his prayer. Verse 4, he said, I have been banished from Your sight, yet I will look again towards Your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Can you imagine? Verse 6, to the root of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But You brought my life up from the pit. Oh, Lord my God, when my life was ebbing away, I remember You, Lord, and my prayer rose to You, to Your holy temple. How many of you know his perspective has completely changed? Even when the sailors threw Jonah overboard, he knew his life was almost over. That was it. Water engulfed him, seaweed around his head, sinking. But God rescued Jonah, and the fish kept him from death. Even when you feel like, man, I'm on my last leg, how many of you know it's never too late to pray?
Right.
It's never too late to go to Him. Amen?
Amen?
Can I just say that when life is crushing you, when the consequences of your decisions is coming due, right? When it's more than you can take, we can cry out to God. It's never too late. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you and say, oh, yeah, it's too late for you. Listen, if you can't speak, how many of you know we can breathe a prayer,
right?
If you can't breathe, how many of you know we can think a prayer,
right?
Whatever it is, God will hear us and He'll begin to lift us up. I love, again, David, keep going to David. I think David and Jonah had some similarities. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of this pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and He set my feet on a solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Amen? Here's the great news. God specializes in those that are down and out. Amen? You may think it's all over, but I want to tell you, God loves you and has a plan for you. He always has and He always will. All we have to do is call on His name. Just call on His name. If the only prayer you can pray is Jesus, how many of you know He knows what you're saying? I don't know the right words. I don't speak in King James. I don't know how to do that, Lord. Just Jesus. I need help. I need help. God responds to that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, it's going to get better here. Jonah continued his prayer. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Whoa. I could spend a moment on that. How many of you know, well, people are worshiping worthless idols, but they do have warped philosophies that they're hanging on to. People are hanging on to things that gives them no grace whatsoever. But he says this, verse 9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to You. Think about it. In the belly of a fish, Jonah began to worship. Jonah began to, can you imagine? Dark, miserable, smelly. For all Jonah knew, he was going to die. That was it. But if he was going to go out, he says, I'm going out praising God.
Amen.
I'm going to go out worshiping him. And so he began to sing. No one singing with him. No instruments. Nobody complaining if it was a song that they liked or didn't like. I don't really like this song. None of that was going on. I want to tell you, worship isn't just what we do at the beginning of a service, is it?
No.
I believe that, you know, when you're feeling good and the temperature's good and the lights are good and everybody's on key. No, it's not that. Worship is what you do when your house is on fire.
Amen.
Right? Worship is what you do when everything in your life is going wrong. Worship is what you do when the enemy is coming to get you. The walls seem to be closing in on you. It's what you do whenever your spouse betrays you, walks out on you. Worship is what you do, seriously, when you've lost it all. Can I worship God at that point? And so what I'm trying to say is that your settings and your circumstances should not dictate your worship. Oh, we've got bad circumstances. At your very worst, I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes and listen. We don't know what song Jonah sang, but earlier this week while I was praying over this message, I felt like we needed to sing. And this song is I Surrender. And I feel like that might be the theme of Jonah's song when he was in the belly of the fish. So if we can turn the lights out, we're just going to take a few minutes here. And I want to encourage you to stand, and whatever you're in, just begin to sing this out to God as a song of worship to Him.
I'm not afraid to die. Jesus breathing. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, like a
life, Lord God, your ear is listening. Lord, you are the prodigal son's father, Lord. You're on the hill, you're looking. Lord, we thank you. So the worship team's going to stay up here, but I just want to cover this last bit real quick because we're still in the prayer. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good on. You know, when you surrender the vow, we don't know what the vow was. We're assuming it was something of God. This time I'm going to obey you, right? This time I'm going to walk in obedience. And so many times we make vows to the Lord when we're in a crisis and we're like, God, if you'll just get me out of this, then I promise I'll always serve you from this day on. How many of you know we don't always follow through with that? So I want to encourage you when you make that, when God rescues you out, don't just treat that haphazard. It's like, I'm going to walk and I'm going to obey it. Jonah learned his lesson. He said the price of disobedience was too high. I'm not going down that road anymore. And so he surrendered his life back to the Lord. And then verse 10, it says, and then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Exactly. Ooh, that had to be disgusting. But I can imagine, even though Jonah laid there in some of that slime and smell, thinking, I'm back on dry ground, I wonder if there was another worship service that happened. Some of you guys that have been afraid flying and you see people get off the plane and they kiss the ground, right? Like, I'm back. Like he didn't care what he was covered in. He's been in it for 3 days. He's like, God, I'm back. I got fresh air all of a sudden. And he washed himself back up. And last week we talked about the seven saddest words of this story in chapter 1, verse 3, that Jonah ran away from the Lord. But I want to tell you, I want to give you the 12 most beautiful words that happened. And this is chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God spoke to his prophet again. See, God really is the God of second chances, the God of third chances, the God of fourth chances, right? You never, you know, what does the scripture say? That his mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Just when you think you've expended all of it, his mercy is new. And I know that, listen, when we walk in disobedience, we can't hear the voice of God. We just, because we're listening to other voices, we're listening to our own voice. But I honestly believe the moment you step back into obedience, you begin to hear again. You begin to hear again. God, the fact is, God never stopped talking, did he? No. We just stopped listening. Verse 2, it says, this is the word that came to him. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Guess what? It was the same message that he had before. The exact, let me tell you, God not only had a plan for Jonah, how many of you realize it was the same plan? And I think the truth that we need to get out of that is no matter how far we run, no matter how big our mistake is, no matter how public your failure may have been, God still has a plan for you. And can I just say, it's still the same plan. Sometimes we're like, oh, I blew it. Now I'll never be used in this way again. No, this is the God of restoration, which means he puts us back where we were and even better. Amen? And even better. If we've disobeyed, what do we need to do? Go back to that point of disobedience and begin to obey. I know it's not easy. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride. It might cost you something, but we need to do like Jonah did in verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. And I believe that's a beautiful picture of God's grace and his mercy.
Amen.
His grace, getting the thing, that's what grace is, getting what we don't deserve. His mercy is not getting what we do deserve. What did Jonah deserve? He didn't deserve to be, he didn't even deserve for the fish to swallow him unless it was going to digest him, right? But God gave him something so much more. He's like, I'm going to restore you. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're not the one running. Maybe you know somebody that's running. And they're in a desperate situation thinking, man, there's no way that God will ever accept me back. I want you to take this story of Jonah and point them and say, no, God wants to restore you.
Amen.
You don't have to clean up to get up. All you got to do is surrender. Amen. Surrender to him. So I just want to encourage you with that. I don't know where you've been, where you've been. Maybe somebody watching online. God wants to do a work of restoration. I said earlier in the service that God's wanting to free you. Can I tell you, he's not wanting to free you to run on your own. He's wanting to free you to follow after him. Amen? Can I have everybody stand today? Thank you, Lord. And if we've got some of our prayer team, if you guys can come up, that would be great. Thank you, Lord. Just really sense that there's someone here that says that you haven't heard the voice of the Lord in a while, and you're wanting to do that. You're wanting to hear him again. Feel like God is saying that just open up your ears and begin to listen. As you surrender, he's going to begin to speak to you. You're going to begin to hear words again this week. God wants to begin to encourage you and build you up. I don't know who that's for, but I just feel like God is doing that for somebody here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mentioned earlier that walking in sanctification, we have to surrender our life to him. Yeah, if anyone needs prayer, you can come up while I'm talking. I'm fine with that. But if you have not made an attempt to surrender to God, maybe you believe that Jesus died on the cross, but you've never surrendered to him, then I want to give you that opportunity today. If that's you, can I just have you just raise your hand and just make eye contact with me? Would be wonderful. You say, I want to surrender. Amen. See a couple hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we all just say this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you so much for going to the cross to pay the debt for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. And today, I surrender my life back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.